To the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks again for your grace to us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to come into your presence to worship you. Lord, we thank you for this dispensation of grace. Lord, we recognize from the scriptures that under the old covenant, people didn't have the freedom to come in as we do, oh God, into your presence. Lord, they had to have a priest go before them and do sacrifices, and a high priest who could go into your presence just once a year. Well, Lord, we thank you, God, that because of the death of Christ, the veil has been torn in the temple. And Lord, we can now come boldly into your presence, to your throne, which is the throne of grace. Lord, we thank you for that privilege. And Lord, we thank that we, as we have offered up praise and thanksgiving, Lord, we have the assurance that, Lord, it has been accepted in your sight. Lord, we ask you to continue to touch our lives, continue to minister to us this morning. Lord, as your word comes forth, I pray that Christ will be exalted in our midst. Lord, I pray that our ears will be able to hear not just the word said, but Lord, what your spirit is saying to each one of us. Lord, may our hearts be good soil to receive your word. And Lord, may your word bring forth fruit in our lives, O God. May the enemy not come and steal your word from us, but Lord, may it instead find good soil where the thorns and the weeds have been uprooted so that your word can bring forth fruit. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said, and amen. So last week, Pastor Sean shared about what happens when we go through hard times. And you know, we sang that song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. That song reminds me of some of the times I had when I was a teenager going to camp. And that was one of the songs that they would sing when they had altar calls. Just calling us to total surrender to the Lord. And what I have to share this morning really continues from what Sean shared last week. And of course, it's part of the series we've been doing on the heart. The last time I shared on the heart, I talked about restoring the heart. God wants to restore our hearts. And before that, we talk about God healing our hearts. And before that, we talk about guarding our hearts. And I want to share this morning on a heart that is fully committed to God. A heart fully committed to God. You know, it's possible for us to be committed to God 95%. And then there's a 5% area there where it's, well, I'm not so sure. Or 90%, and then there's a 10% area there where you're not so sure. And I've discovered over time that if that is so, then circumstances will arise to put to the test our commitment to the Lord. And if we have not settled some issues, we can be thrown into a spin. We can have some all sorts of unnecessary difficulties because of that little area there in our lives that we didn't fully commit to the Lord. And so I want to share on that this morning and to share one of the key things to help us to keep our hearts fully committed to the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. And I'm going to start reading from verse 16 of Ezekiel chapter 11. You see, the Old Testament saints, many of them didn't have their hearts fully committed to the Lord. It's amazing. You read Judges, for example, and a judge that fear God and all the people follow the Lord, and then a judge comes in who doesn't fear God and all the people go and do whatever is right in their own eyes, and do their own thing. And it goes back and forth until eventually the Lord sent his people into exile because of their unfaithfulness. And so here in Ezekiel, verse 16, we're picking up where the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel actually gets an encounter with God. And it says, therefore, verse 16, therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. And so the Lord is saying, even though I scattered them all over, they were taken into Babylon, they were taken into different places, God was saying, even there I was a sanctuary for them. Even there they could have come and find me. The psalmist says that the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous running to him, and they are safe and they are saved. And so this part of the scriptures reminds me that no matter where we are in life, no matter what's happening to us, there is a sanctuary we can find, which is the Lord himself. And when we are totally committed to him, we will find that sanctuary. Because a total commitment doesn't mean, as Sean shared last time, that hardships won't happen. The Hebrew boys and Daniel were in exile too, but they found a sanctuary right there in God's presence. And so Lord says, I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Verse 17, therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. Then verse 19 says, and I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them, and I'll remove from their heart, and I'll remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. Verse 22, just help us to see Ezekiel 7, this encounter. It says, then the cherubim with the wheels beside them spread out their wings, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the exiles in Babylonia in the vision given by the Spirit of God. So Ezekiel is having this encounter, and God is saying to him, say to the exiles, say to my people, I'm going to bring you back, but I'm going to do something different because your heart wasn't fully committed to me. And so you went after idols, you went after different things, but in this time to come, which is the time we are in now, I am going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take away that stony heart, that heart that found it difficult to respond to the Lord. That heart that found it difficult to obey God's word, because part of being totally devoted to the Lord, totally committed to the Lord, is the eagerness to follow God's word. Is the eagerness to obey God's word. It's not just some emotional thing. Emotions are great. But after all of that, or in the midst of all of that, there must be a willingness to be obedient to God's word. By the way, you can still say amen. Amen. And so God promised them, said, I'm going to give them this undivided heart. I'm going to do something inside of them. I would cause your heart to be given totally to me and to me alone. And to help them, I'm going to put my spirit inside of them. So that from within us, the Spirit of God leads us and draws us to the Father. From within us, there's a prompting of the Spirit saying, seek the Lord. A prompting of the Spirit saying, no, don't go that way. Now, we still have the freedom to obey or not. But we are so privileged in this new covenant that the Spirit of God is living inside of us to help us to be obedient to the Word of God. And so it really isn't fair for us to look at Israel and to have too many criticisms, because they didn't have the Spirit living in them as we do. We are in a privileged time, a privileged place where the Spirit of God is in us, and God has given us a heart that is tender, a heart of flesh to respond to His Word. That's awesome. That's great. That's fantastic. This is a heart that will be tender. I put here my notes, and contrite before God. A heart that is willing to respond to His word. A heart that rejects sin and has a love for God above all else. So now you and I can obey the great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, and with all of our strength. Because of the Spirit of God inside of us. Because of the work God has done inside of you and inside of me. A heart that says no to sin. You see, the idea of the song we just sang about, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. That song didn't tell us about going off to the right or off to the left. You know, some people don't turn back, but they drift. And they go on to the right and go on to the left. The Lord said to Joshua, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Just keep following me. You see? So it's more than just turning back to our old ways of living. We can drift off over here into our own little world and do our own little thing. Drift off over there and ignore the Lord. And end up not having that totally undivided heart towards God. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 86. I love the psalmist. Psalm 86, verse 9. This is what the psalmist says. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They'll bring glory to your name. You see, the psalmist had a vision for the entire world, not just for Israel. It's important for us as believers to have a vision, not just for our families, not just for our communities, not just for our nation, but for all the nations to come and know our God. Hello? It's very, very important. God is a God of all the nations of the world, not just the God of my family, not just the God of my community, not just the God of this nation. He's a God of all the nations. Amen. And so the psalmist, in a time when God was working with Israel, he cries out, all the nations you have made, that's verse 9, they will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Then the psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. And so here the psalmist is saying, in the midst of all of this, Lord, I need you to teach me your ways. Teach me what you are like. Do something, oh God. Give me a revelation. Give me some insights. Can I tell you this, friends, that God is not who we imagine him to be. A lot of people have God created in their own image. And they believe that, you know, well, God won't do this, God won't do that, God doesn't require this of me, because they've created a God in their own image. God has revealed himself to us through the scriptures and then through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we, you and me, we need to ask the Spirit of God to teach us the way of the Lord. Because when we know the way of the Lord, something happens inside of us. He says, teach me that I might walk in your truth. I don't want to walk in error. I don't want to walk in my own little understanding of things. I want to walk in the way of the Lord. Amen. So if God says this is the right way, I want to do it. If he says this is the wrong way, I want to do it. I mean, I don't want to do it. But you understand what I'm saying? It's not for me to decide, for example, that, you know, all sort of relationships are okay in the sight of God. No, that's not what his word says. So if I am going to be undivided in my commitment to the Lord, then I have to be undivided in my commitment to the truth of his word. It's not an emotional thing. It's more than that. It doesn't matter what my opinion might be on different issues. What is important is what the word of God says. And so after that, the psalmist says here in Psalm 86, that in the midst of this, I'm going to praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Because I've experienced you. I am going to personally, unashamedly worship and magnify my God. I don't care who gets upset. I don't care who wants to join me. But he deserves all of my worship. He deserves all of my praise. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says. And one of the things that stand out to me and to many of us is the fact that David worshipped God unashamedly. David couldn't care less who was offended and who wasn't offended. David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and even his own wife criticized him. So this undivided heart, this totally committed heart before God, is not concerned about how your neighbor might think about your worship. It's not concerned about, it's all it's concerned about is magnifying the name of the Lord our God. Friends, we live in a time where we're too concerned about what others think when we're serving God. Listen, they didn't die for you. At the drop of a hat, they will leave you alone. The only person who died for you and for me is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he deserves all of my worship. That's part of this undivided heart. That's part of this fully committed heart before the Lord. I'm fully committed to worshiping him no matter what happens. That's why Job could say, even if he slays me, I'm still going to put my hope and my trust in him. I might not understand some of the things happening around me, but one thing I do know, Christ died for me, therefore he deserves all of my worship. I'm always blessed by people who in the last moments, they are able, because of family and friends, to spend those last moments worshiping God. I'm always blessed by those people. And the cry and prayer of my heart for all of us is that even our last breath, we will be giving God thanks for his goodness and his mercy. Now having this heart that is totally committed to the Lord doesn't mean that, you know, we don't have times when we have some challenges. I'm glad the way the Lord is. The Lord is very positive. Have you ever noticed it? He's a very positive, optimistic God. And so he says of David in 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. The guy who was king at that time was Abijah. That's verse 1. Verse 3 says, he committed all the sins of his father, all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his forefather, had been. So David set the standard as a man whose heart was fully committed to the Lord, fully devoted to the Lord. Verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord, his God, gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem strong. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life. And then the writer just puts a little note there, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And you all know what happened to Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. I don't know how long that lasted for. That there was a time when David's heart wasn't fully committed to the Lord, when he should have been out at war in the spring, when he was at home. It's a check, friends. When you're supposed to be somewhere God wants you to be and you're not there, check your heart to find out what's really happening here. When it's time for church and you're like, well, I'd rather just watch something on television, check your heart to find out what's really happening there. To see if that's the 5% that's not fully committed to the Lord, because that alone can lead it on the wrong path. when it's time for worship, and you're like, well, I don't really want to worship, then ask yourself, what's going on inside? What's going on? God has done so much. Speak to yourself as the psalmist did, and to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, and forget none of his benefits. And I want it to be that at the end of my life, like at the end of David's life, Lord would say, this man, this son of mine, he was fully committed to me. It didn't mean that he was sinless, but it meant that when God convicted him, he turned and repented fully. No excuses. No blaming other people. You notice David didn't blame other people, didn't blame Bathsheba for all of his problems. He just repented. And said, Lord, against you have I sinned. But this is the scripture that I really wanted to come to. All of that is just introduction. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. This is what it says. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing. From now on, you will be at war. This is a word to Asa, the king. And if you know a little bit about Asa, when he got started, the enemies came against him as king. And he went and he sought the Lord and he prayed and asked God to intervene. And God intervened and gave him victory against his enemies. And Asa lived for a couple of decades there. He was living and his heart was committed to the Lord. But the beginning of the chapter of chapter 16, 2 Chronicles 16 says, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, 36 years later, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. And what Asa did was rather than seek God for help, rather than asking God to intervene in the circumstance, Asa used human wisdom and went and made a treaty with the king of Aram to get help against Baasha. And it worked. Because the king of Aram attacked the king of Israel and caused the king of Israel to retreat. It worked. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 16. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. Then Asa brought all the men of Judah and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. Then verse 7 says, at that time, Anani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you've relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites, these are the ones who came against him early in his reign, and the Libyans, a mighty army with a great number of chariots and horsemen, yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And what I'm seeing here, friends, is that Asa reached a point in his life where he was not totally committed to God, not totally devoted to God, not totally dependent upon God. Friends, it's not how you start the race that's important. It's how you finish. Let me repeat that. It's not how you start that's important. It's how you finish. This seems simple in my eyes. I mean, what's the big deal? All I did was to make a treaty with the Aram. I mean, they're like my enemy, but you know, I made a little treaty with them. But what was underneath it was a man who was no longer relying on God.
Friends, it's possible to live this Christian life and you reach a point where you're no longer relying on God. Situations come your way and you're not relying on God anymore. All you can rely on is your own little wisdom and your own little way of trying to do things. And it might work. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, are you totally dependent upon God? It's for you and me to realize if your heart is totally devoted to God, God is out there looking for some people who are like that, that he might strengthen them. One version says that he might show himself strong on their behalf. The Lord is searching through the earth. Where are the people whose hearts are totally committed to me, who look to me for solutions, no matter what circumstance come their way? Where are they so that I can strengthen them, so that I can intervene in their lives and in their circumstances? Or are my people so smart they can figure it out for themselves? Friends, any circumstance facing you or facing me, we need to seek the Lord about it. It doesn't matter what it is. You have a situation at school, seek the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your direction. A situation at work, seek the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I need your direction. A situation in your own life, your own health, your whatever circumstance, ask God for help. If your heart is fully committed to him, you will ask God for help. So what happened with Asa? I'm glad you asked. And the Bible tells us, 2 Chronicles 16 verse 10, Asa was angry with his seer because of this. Here comes the prophet. I'm thanking God that this prophet was not somebody who was there to please the king, who come and pat him on the back and say, "Well done, king, I like your negotiation skills." The prophet came and spoke God's word. And so Asa had enjoyed peace before that, but now Lord is saying you're going to enjoy war instead. Because you didn't rely on me. And Asa became angry. He was so enraged that he put the prophet in prison. He said, I mean, in those days it was a serious thing to be a prophet. If the king didn't like what you say, you're in prison. So you had motivation to always say what the king wanted to hear. And then it goes on to say, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. Because his heart was no longer fully committed to the Lord, he was no longer functioning out of a heart of compassion. Then 3 years later, verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. This is not a condemnation of physicians. This is trying to show us where the heart of this man was. That he reached a place where he figured, I don't even need to seek God anymore. I don't want to seek God anymore. I'm going to seek help from whatever other sources I can get help. His heart was no longer fully devoted and committed to the Lord. And that's what I mean when I say that if your heart is only 95% committed, something's going to happen on the road to lead you astray. And it might not necessarily be that you even realize it until you've gone down this path, that you're no longer seeking the Lord. No matter what it is, it might be an illness. Fine, go to the doctor, but in the midst of going to the doctor, be looking to God for help. Be looking to God to intervene. Be looking to God to give direction. Are you hearing me? This is key for us as Christians. Too many Christians are looking to humans for solution. They're looking to government for solution. They're looking to this for solution rather than look to the Lord himself. Is your heart fully committed to the Lord? You're buying a house. Have you sought the Lord? You're looking for a job. Have you sought the Lord? It's key. The person who is fully committed to the Lord will always say, Lord, is this what you want? Lord, please lead me. Lord, please guide me. It's there's a humility of heart that we need to have that says, I need God in every single situation. And the scripture shows us many people like Hezekiah. When he got the word from the Lord, he's going to die. He sought God and God intervened and healed him. And the next thing you know, he's walking in pride. His heart becomes puffed up. And God speaks to Hezekiah, and fortunately for him, he humbles himself and repents. One of the key things that I read for us from Psalm 86. Verse 9 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I'll walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. It's that there's a fear of the Lord that all of us need to have. That would cause us to say, you know what, I don't want to move unless I hear from God. I don't want to do this unless I know this is what God wants me to do. And too many in the church, it's like God is like on the back burner. I can figure this thing out. I can do it myself. And so we end up being powerless. We end up in all sort of problems. We end up compromising ourselves. But the psalmist is out saying, Lord, teach me your way. And give me this undivided heart that I might fear your name. So the fear of the Lord is one of the key things to being totally committed to the Lord. A reverence for God. It's one of the key things God was trying to teach his people in the Old Testament. It's one of the things he's trying to teach us today. You know, this last Wednesday we were looking in Hebrews. And I asked a question, because the writer of Hebrews says that the Lord told Moses to build the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern I show you on the mountain. Why would God be concerned? I mean, why couldn't he just leave it up to Moses to figure out how to build this tabernacle? And as he reads through Hebrews, he realized because what he showed him there was a reflection of things in the heavens. He was trying to help Moses to get a glimpse as to what things are like in the heavens. And one of the things he was trying to teach his people is to fear and reverence him. If he left it to Moses, he perhaps would have built some sort of tabernacle that looked like the tabernacle that the pagans used to worship their gods. But Lord said, no. You read in Exodus. You do everything according to what I show you. But I'm smart enough, Lord, I can do it. No, do it according to what the Lord says. And God was trying to teach them what it means to be holy, what it means to treat me as holy. And so the scriptures tell us, if the high priest of a deer going to God's presence first and his sacrifice wasn't accepted, he's a dead man. Because God is trying to teach his people to show reverence and respect for him. Because that will keep our hearts in the right place. I don't want to be so smart that I no longer reverence God. Have you ever thought about the serious side of God? God is a serious God. I thank God for the... Listen, the more you recognize the serious side of God, the more you're thankful for this time of grace. And I was reading in Genesis about Judah had two sons. Judah, one of the sons of Jacob. And the Bible has said about his first son that he was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And guess what happened to him?
help us. It says the Lord kill him. How many know that? He was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And so his brother was to get married now to Tamar and to have a child so that, you know, the genealogy can continue. And the Bible says that his brother wasn't faithful in his sexual relations, in his act to her. And so that was seen to be wicked in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord killed him too. I mean, this is serious stuff. Have you ever thought about it? Moses had some sons. Nadab, I think that's his name, and Abihu. They were leaders amongst the people of God. And they were there in Exodus. When at the foot of the mountain, they were there along with the other elders. They understood something about the awesome presence of God touching that mountain. And I don't know what went to their head. But they decided to offer their own little sacrifice to God. And God strike them dead. God just killed them. And there was Aaron, and Moses says, well, this is what they did. And so God killed him, and Aaron was like, they should have known better. I'm saying to us, friends, we need to have a reverence and respect for God that will keep us so we don't just jump off and do things on our own and figure, I'm so smart, I can figure this thing out. We mentioned Wednesday night about Uzzah. You know, David had this great idea. I'm going to bring back the ark of God's presence. I love the Lord. I'm going to bring back the build this nice little cart. Brand new. Put the ark on the cart. I mean, what's wrong with that? That seems smart to me. I mean, what's the issue with that? How can anybody have an issue with that? Well, God did. And so the ark stumbled and the cart shook and the ark started to fall off. And Uzzah is like, I need to balance this. And God strike him dead. Are you hearing me, friends? And so you have to understand the background. As priests, they would have understood that the presence of the Lord is not supposed to be carried on some nice cart. If the pagans want to do that, that's their thing. But the presence of the Lord should be carried by poles upon the shoulders of the priests. And what they're saying to you and to me is that you're looking for a move of God. The move of God comes as you and I carry the very presence of God upon ourselves. And we can't look to some. Friend, it's not a song that brings in the presence of God. Or else it'd be a new ark. One song this time, next month a different song. No. It's you and me. As we spend time in God's presence, we carry His presence. And as we come together, then God moves among us. So don't come on a Sunday morning and look as if you expect that the worship team, they're going to do it. No. It's you and me who come with the very presence of Almighty God, and then He moves. And the heart that is fully committed towards the Lord recognizes this and embraces it. What about in the New Testament? In Ananias and Sapphira, I mean, all it did was tell a little lie. What's the big deal? That's what we would say, right? What's the big deal, Peter? I mean, Peter, you already know that they lied, so what's the big deal? But Peter said, you haven't lied to us, you have lied to God. You have lied in the middle of all of these people. You're establishing a bad precedence now. And so the Lord didn't ask Peter, what do you think I should do? The Lord just killed them. And there are many other cases. I mean, Paul is preaching to the proconsul and Elymas is preventing the man from responding. And Paul called on blindness on him. I'm saying to us, friends, that you and I need to have this fear and this reverence of the Lord in our hearts if we are going to be fully committed to the Lord.
I don't want to live my life and then at the end of it, like, you know, I think I can, I figured out God now. I can do it myself. I want to have this reverence for God that says, Lord, I don't want to do anything unless this is your will. I'm not smart enough. Lord, yes, it might work out, but you know, Lord, if I've done it in my own strength and ability, then I'm taking all the glory. And you know what's happening? Pride is building up in my heart. Yes, I've decided to follow Jesus, which means I'm going to ask him for his direction in every single thing in my life. I'm not going to go to the right or to the left, even though it might look wise. I'm not feeding, one lady says, she's not feeding from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She's feeding from the tree of life.
The last scripture I'll share from is Psalm 34, Psalm of David. Psalm 34, verse 11, it says, come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desire to see many good days, have the fear of the Lord. That's basically what David is saying. If you love life and want to see good days, have the fear of the Lord. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from saying things that are not, keep your tongue from saying things that are contrary to the word of God. Anything you say, anything I say that is contrary to the word of God is evil. Let me repeat that. Anything that I would say that is contrary to the word of God is evil. So Lord, keep my lips from speaking evil. If I'm going to speak, I want to speak what is in line with your word. No, somebody might get offended out there, but that's all right. I'd rather fear God than to fear people. So I'm not going to say something just to make you feel good. I'd rather keep quiet. Or else I'm going to tell you what the word of God says. Are you getting me? So you might be watching this and you might have been a transgender person. All I have to tell you is what the word of God says. That he created them, male and female. He decided what your gender from the moment you were conceived. And when we reject our gender, we're rejecting part of God's purpose for our lives. But I feel this way and I feel like, yes, I know. But all I have to say is, either I'm going to be quiet or I'm going to tell you what God's word says, because to do otherwise, I'd be speaking evil. Why? Because I fear and reverence God more than you. I'm not trying to win friends. I have the greatest friend I could ever have, which is the Lord himself. And the Bible tells me friendship with the world is enmity with God. So I'm not trying to become a friend of the world. I'm trying to maintain my friendship with the Lord. My wife shared about the fact that God wants to bless us. I'm trying to maintain that blessing upon my life, because only me, through my own disobedience, can cause the blessing of God not to fall as it should. To be fully committed to the Lord, so that he can take care of my enemies. He can take care of the things all around me. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of all the other stuff. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. So have you decided to follow the Lord? Not just if nobody comes with you, but even when in every situation, are you going to seek his face to say, Lord, what do you require of me in this circumstance? Lord, I don't want to go to the right or to the left. I don't want to follow the wisdom of the world.
I don't want to negotiate my own way through stuff. I want to be reliant upon you. And when you do things to give you all the glory, so the people around will know it is God who has done this. The psalmist says, as I teach you the fear of the Lord, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Because you know what? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. In other words, the one who fears God, the same eye that is running through the earth, God's eye is upon us to bless, to intervene, to hear our cry, to answer our prayers, to do miracles. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all of their troubles. Why? Because the righteous fear the Lord. And so they cry out. He doesn't say that he delivers them immediately, but he will deliver them. Just as we heard last week of the Hebrew boys, he delivered them. The righteous cry out. The righteous who fear God. The righteous who are fully, totally committed to the Lord. That no matter what, no matter what they put in my path, I'm not bowing down to some idol. I'm not bowing down to any giant. I'm going to serve the Lord and him only. When they cry out, the Lord hears their cry.
And he responds, let us stand.
I put there at the end of my notes a twofold response. The first response is to commit to seek the Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how quote unquote trivial it might seem. Commit to seek the Lord. Commit to ask the Lord for his guidance. Commit to ask the Lord to show you what to do. No matter how tremendous it seems. Because a heart that's fully committed to the Lord realizes, you know what, Lord, I'm in this relationship with you. And so I want to make sure that you're part of every decision that I make. And then the second part of my response to us is to ask God for the fear of the Lord. Ask God to put in your heart and in my heart a fear of the Lord. Something that will keep me down the road. Something that no matter what happens, I'm going to like, you know, I'd rather be on the Lord's side than on the side than on any other side. That when the difficulties come, you and I can be like Job. I said, no matter what happens, I fear the Lord and I know I'm going to stand before him on that day. So you know what? I'm going to keep being faithful to God. Let us bow our heads this morning. And in the quietness of your own heart, let's do number one first. Let's just ask the Lord. So let's just commit to ourselves to seek the Lord no matter what happens. Seek after the Lord. The Lord said to Asa, when you are surrounded by your enemies, you sought God and I gave you victory. So why didn't you seek me now? Why do you think you're so smart? So let's take a moment in the quietness of our own hearts, commit to ourselves to seek the Lord no matter what happens, so that we're not drawn into our own ways. Drawn after our own desires. Let's take a few, perhaps about 30 seconds and do that. asks us to do. It's to pray after me. As I lead us in a prayer, asking God to put in our hearts a fear of Him, a reverence for Him. Not to be afraid, but a reverence for Him. A reverence that will give us this undivided heart to follow the Lord, to seek the Lord, to go with the Lord. A reverence that will say, I'm not just singing a song saying, though none go with me. But because of my reverence for the Lord, I'm saying, even if they don't come with me, I'm going to follow you, Lord. So I'm going to encourage us, those who are here and those who are participating online, pray this prayer after me. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his shed blood. I thank you that I'm your child. But Father God, I recognize that you are God and I'm not. That your ways are so different from my ways. That Father, I ask you this day to teach me your way. Father, I ask you this day to put in my heart a fear and a reverence for you. Lord, may I fear you only. Lord, take away from me the fear of humans, the fear of men, the fear of circumstances. And help me, Lord, to fear you only. To seek you, Lord, for every situation, for your direction, for your word, in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's what I long for. A heart that follows heart after thee. A pure heart. That's what I worship, a sweet aroma of worship. Let it be a sweet aroma of worship that rises to
Is there anyone in this house this morning that you need to recommit yourself to the Lord? And you're saying, Joe Cameron, will someone pray with me? You can just raise your hand right now. Anyone in this house that need to recommit themselves? As you have talked about the fear of the Lord. Anybody in this house? Our commitment to the Lord is no matter what happens. I've known people who things happen. I know one woman, for example, is very zealous for the Lord and developed certain illnesses in her life. There are no cure, physical illnesses, no cure. And she has walked away from the Lord because of it. Friends, when there's a fear of the Lord in your heart, you're like, no matter what, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to follow the Lord. I might not have answers to what I'm going through, but I do know one thing, that the Lord is there, that He loves me, that He has sent His Son to die for me, and that I will spend eternity with Him. An undivided heart. Not 95% committed. Not 98% committed, but 100% committed to the Lord. Father, we thank You. We thank You that Jesus Christ was 100% committed to us. That's why He went all the way to the cross. That's why He endured all the suffering and all the shame and all of the scorn. Because of His 100% commitment. Father, we respond, O God, with 100% commitment. Being fully committed to follow You. Fully committed to Your purposes, fully committed to our relationship with You. And Father, if there are areas in our lives that are not yet fully surrendered, Lord, I pray that You would show it to us so that we can deal with it even now, O God. And Father, at the end of our days, O God, we want to hear You say to us, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of Your Lord. Lord, we want to finish well. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, that we ask that Your Spirit might continue to lead us, continue to teach us, continue to cause our hearts to be tender towards You. That, Lord, we would always be drawn back to You, always seeking to be faithful to You, O God. Lord, quick to respond when your Spirit would convict us. Father, draw us closer to You, O God, we pray. Now we ask for a closer walk with You, mighty God. That, Lord, we'd hear Your voice even more clearly than ever before. Father, teach us what evil is, so that, O God, we can run away from it. And help us, O God, only to speak those things that are consistent with Your word. Father, we give You thanks and we give You praise for Your goodness towards us. And Lord, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, if you need prayer for anything else, sickness, direction, whatever it might be, you can come on up front after we're finished, and there will be people up here to pray with you. The Lord bless you, and you are dismissed.